Okay. Morning, boys. Anybody know somebody that prayed for?
Floyd and Jessica.
Floyd and Jessica.
Beverly Thompson.
Beverly Thompson at the nursing home. Who's that for today? Oh, Ed here. Where's Ed? Ed here. Who? Humphrey. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this helping us, giving us what we need. We just pray for these friends and loved ones. Bars, that you would just help them and lead them, give them wisdom, and help protect them from evil. And Lord, we just pray that you will be done. God, help us, Lord, to just hear your voice and to follow you. And to just deny ourselves. Follow Jesus. Okay. Who knows what song we're looking at? Okay. It's Psalm 93 in the Septuagint. In the regular King James, or it's Psalms 94. It says it's a psalm that's by David, King David. And this first part talks about vengeance. And vengeance is another word for revenge. And let's see, Roger, do you know what revenge is? You know what that means? What does that mean?
It means
right. Getting even. Like if somebody hurt you, you do whatever you need to do to make sure that they get theirs and you hurt them back, okay? Or that's generally what revenge is. It is interesting the way that David starts talking about vengeance, because it seems like the Lord Jesus kind of talks about not seeking revenge, not trying to make things even. Ourselves. And, but let's just see what David says here. He says, "The Lord is a God of vengeance. The God of vengeance declares himself holy. Be exalted, God, O you who judge the earth. Render the arrogant their reward," which means give to those arrogant men what they deserve. And he asks, "How long, Lord? How long will sinners boast? How long will they utter and speak wrongdoing? How long will all who work lawlessness speak? They humbled your people, O Lord, and they maltreated your inheritance." He's saying these sinners, they hurt God's people. He said they were treated badly, they were humbled. He said they killed the widow and the resident alien. They murdered the orphan. These sinners, they boasted and they said, "The Lord will not see this, nor will the God of Jacob understand." Now understand, all you without discernment among the people, and all you fools at length, be discerning. He who planted the ear Shall he not hear? He's talking about God. If God could make your ear, can he not hear what's going on? So he who planted the ear, shall he not hear? God who made the eye, shall he not see? He who chastises the nations, shall he not reprove them? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of men are vain. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and whom you teach from your law, so that you may give him rest from evil days, until a pit is dug for the sinner. For the Lord will not reject his people, and he will not forsake his inheritance, until righteousness returns to judgment, and all the upright in heart possess it. It almost sounds like David has been in a big struggle, and that he is just feeling just weighted down by all this adversity and all these people, and it just sounds like he's tired. And it says, who will rise up for me against evildoers? Or who will side with me against the workers of lawlessness? If the Lord had not helped me, my soul would have almost sojourned in Hades. So now he's saying, if it hadn't been for God helping me, I would have just sunk. But it sounds like through all this, he still has faith in God. He says, If I said, my foot slipped, your mercy, O Lord, help me. God even feels like God even helped him in the smallest things. That's what I think that might mean. And he says, O Lord, according to the abundance of grief in my heart, your encouragement consoled my soul. Sounds like he's, with all this, just hard time that he's facing. Sounds like he's just being thankful for how God helped him in the midst of all that. And telling God that you've helped me. According to the abundance of my trouble, God, you have encouraged me accordingly. Then he asks a question. He says, shall a throne of lawlessness be present with you? A throne that frames trouble by importance. He's saying, you know, should evil be around you? Would evil be able to exist around you? And then in 21 it says, they shall hunt for the soul of a righteous man. I think he's talking about the sinners, the bad people. He's saying, they shall hunt for the soul of a righteous man, and shall condemn innocent blood. That sounds like what they did to Jesus. He was an innocent, he was a righteous man, he was innocent. But the wicked, they hunted him down and they condemned him. And the Lord has become a place of refuge for me, and my God, the helper of my hope. And then he says, repay their lawlessness to them. And according to their wickedness, the Lord our God shall destroy them. Like I said, it sounds just a little bit different than what Jesus was teaching and what the New Testament talks about, how we're supposed to treat our enemies. Let's just read that real fast. I'm going to read it in Matthew 5. Matthew Matthew 5:16. I'm sorry, 5:38. Okay. This is the Lord Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." Okay? Getting even, you know, just making or having justice, you know, making things right. You know, this man stole something, you know, he needs to give something because of it. Making justice. And Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you to not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." There's another, you know, verse in Romans 2 that says vengeance belongs to God. And that's one thing that, even though Jesus has told us how we are to respond to others, you know, there will be a judgment someday, and every man will receive according to what he has done. You know, we are to forgive when someone has done something wrong to us. You know, we're to be like Jesus. You know, and one thing that the Lord did when they finished nailing him to the cross, you know, he prayed and said, "God, forgive them for what they have done." And that's the way that we are to be like. We're to pray for forgiveness of others that hurt us. You know, but I think that, like King David, it's not going to be easy. And it'll be a struggle sometimes. And sometimes it may be really heavy. It'll be like, "God, how long are you going to let this go on?" You know, but to push through that and to forgive and to love, knowing that everything that we're going through, God knows about. He sees it, He hears it, He understands. Even if we don't understand, we can trust God, and He can help us through the hard times. There will be justice someday. But I don't think we're, as far as I understand, we're not really supposed to be seeking justice, seeking to get things just fair for everybody, that even if we suffer because of somebody else, that we are to return love to that person as much as we can. And that might not be easy. But why don't you boys go ahead and get ready to do your lesson from last week, and that was about finding out or getting some sort of definition of what it means to be holy. Is that right? Oh, like that. Okay.
Oh, being holy is being the man that God wants you to be and just doing what God wants you to do. And you don't have to look holy to be holy.
David failed a lot of times, but he did what was right in the sight of God, so he was holy.
First Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
Paul wanted his letter to be read to all the holy brethren. That means they were Jesus' brethren and they were precious.
First Peter 1:15-16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
First John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So if Jesus was holy and we be like him, then we also can be holy.
Okay. Next week, let's come up with something that you saw another person do, a good thing that you saw a person do for somebody else. Okay? It could be a real thing, it could be something you saw in the Bible, but something that you saw someone do for somebody else that you thought was good and that inspires you to want to do good for other people. So try to think of something nice or good that somebody did for somebody else. Something that you thought was good. You can sit down. Okay.
Deuteronomy 7:6-8. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God chose you to be a people for himself, special of all the nations on the face of the earth. The Lord did not prefer to choose or nor choose you because you are more in number than all the nations, for you are the least of all the nations, but because the Lord loves you.
Holiness is fear God and to do what's right for nobody else's. Doing it, being the man that God wants you to be.
This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus just got done telling several truths that we're supposed to follow. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Holiness is being building on the rock of truth, which is saying what Jesus, which is obeying what Jesus taught, not looking down on others for doing different than you. And
James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I just thought of holiness as being perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Psalm 29, verse 2 in the Masoretic, it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that means that holiness means just being the man that God wants us to be. So kind of saying, worship the Lord in the beauty of being what God wants us to be.
And Ephesians 4:24, and he that put on that new man which God has created in righteousness and heaven. Just God being holiness is being what God wants you to be. Do right.
Holiness is doing what's right with your whole heart all the time. And if someone does something wrong to you, if you just forgive them. Just forgive them. But if you tell them that you forgave them and do something nice for them, then that's holiness.
I had Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
I guess I got kind of mixed up this week, and I got something about faith and not holiness. I thought about, having faith is obeying someone when you don't fully understand it, and just doing the right thing even when you don't understand it.
I'd say in Corinthians 7:1, that having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all unfitnesses of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.